In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little. I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jahan Dotson is a tough one for me. He's young. He was a 16th overall pick, I think, 3 years ago. I mean, it's pretty recent. Mm-hmm. And it's not like Washington has just been loaded with quarterback talent, you know, keen on offense, the kinds of things where you would not be tempted to make an excuse for the player, right? Like maybe it's not all on him. But for as much time as I spent before the draft, and we spent talking about yards per route run and how many like with Keon Coleman and Brian Thomas and A.D. Mitchell, why is this stat so ridiculously low for players with this much talent? It's not a great sign. And, you know, with Dawson Knox, prior to that, he not being able to command targets was always, like, the reason why I don't pay him or expect him to be a big deal in my passing offense. Mm-hmm. There's more to football than just, you know, getting targets. But that's, to me, like...
Especially for a tight end, sure, right.
Yeah. He came off a year where he had 8 or 9 touchdowns. And I'm like, I don't care about that. Because that's not sticky. That's not something that you would expect a player to just be able to repeat. And the next year, he might have had 2 or something. So that's, like, those are the big stats. And they can be kind of quarterback proof. No matter how good the quarterback is, they know what they're trying to do is get the ball to their best player. Like, that's, they're trying to get the ball in the right guy's hands. That's what they're all trying to do, no matter how good they are. And Dotson has suffered badly in that. He does not get targets. He's on the field. Or he was. This year they were having hold for place kicks.
There are guys I've never heard of that were, you know, playing ahead of him at Washington practice.
He seemed like he was really in tough, and I guess that's right because they traded him
right
to the Eagles, division rival. So he's one of these guys, like there are a lot of these guys where, and Coleman might end up being one of them, where you might have a certain reason for thinking, I'm worried here. And now Dotson is years into his career. That's more relevant than spec on Coleman, but I'm not even sure it's a fair comparison, but Dotson with Washington was not able to get there. And, you know, here are the Bills in a moment where we really don't know what they have at receiver. A guy gets traded for so little like this. I'm sure there are plenty of Bills fans thinking, oh, I would have paid that. I don't know. Maybe I would have.
I don't know that I would have. It's a third. It's a bunch of stuff to change, you know, a bunch of sevens and whatever, but a third is the big piece there, right? In the return going back from Philly to Washington. And I feel like the Bills, they were right. They have been right to be in the scratch and dent. Let's see what, you know, just dredge the bottom here and see what we can drum up here. And maybe you can, you know, reclaim your draft status, right? Isabella, KJ Hamler, Chase Claypool, Marquez Valdez-Scantling. They're not all the same, but like similar enough. Those are all players you could just go out and bring in, right? To varying degrees with no risk at all, no guaranteed money. MVS is a little different. He got some, but still not big. I don't feel like Dotson at this stage, I mean, I know he's still so young. I'm not sure what I'd be buying there. And if I have to buy it, like if I have to pay something for it, even, you know, a day two pick, I'm not sure I'd love that because I still feel like I'm just taking a flyer on a guy that might not be that good, and I'm giving up something that could be useful to me either in a trade or certainly just next year in the draft for this team. I mean, we've said it again and again here that with their new life here with Josh Allen on the big contract, that they're going to need every premium asset they've got in the draft to replenish the roster and make sure they can get guys on rookie contracts that can contribute and help them win games. And I'm not sure. Like, I don't feel like Dotson, if he were more proven, it would have cost more, obviously. I would have been leery of it. And I don't feel like he's that different from, like, Khalil Shakir or Curtis Samuel or, like, really anybody that's already here. So, I don't know. I wasn't nuts about it. I like the player coming out just fine. You know, in the draft cycle, and you know, he had a decent first year, I think, but
it's okay.
It just kind of fell apart. So I would have been buyer beware myself, I think. Just it feels a little bit redundant with what I've already got going on here, and again, having to pay for it. Like if he were just on the street suddenly, like he's a cut, and like, you know, obviously he wasn't that poorly thought of that Washington had to stoop to that. They were able to get something back for him, so good on them. I would have taken a flyer on him for free, but not even for a third round pick myself.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it ever too late? I mean, when they were signing Claypool and Valdez-Scantling, it was, I don't know, June or July?
Yeah.
June, maybe even?
I think June, yeah.
And, you know, every once in a while, there was like this new move. And I felt, you know, okay, I'm a little scared because every one of these, I mean, last week we had Corey Davis for a minute.
Davis, right.
And two players as well when they had injuries, Damier Bird and Deion Kane. Like, it's a little scary to think about the Bills that are, they're still grasping at this. But at the same time, it's what they should do. It's just, this is what they're telling you that they don't know. And the more guys they can bring in, yes, it's, quote, camp bodies and fill out the preseason game, all that. Not in June or July. June or July, you know, these are candidates to make your roster. You're giving them a look. Valdez-Scantling, you wouldn't have paid him anything,
right,
guaranteed money-wise, if you didn't kind of have plans for him. So it's all kind of been, oof, I don't know if they think they have it. And I wonder if you get to a point where, I mean, now the season's in 2.5 weeks. And you also, you still want to be open to new opportunities. I'm sure there'll be a lot of player movement once the cuts all happen, and maybe the Bills will cut extra guys to be able to sign someone else's guys.
Yeah.
But it's also, you know, like now it's time, and maybe they are kind of done looking for starters or whatever. I mean, Dotson would be borderline that.
Yeah, starters, I think, yeah, probably. But I don't know, you know, I think the exception to that, because it is late, and I think that is that's a point to be made. Like, you know, you never know until you get a guy in your building how he's actually going to fit into not just your culture and the personality and all that stuff, but even just, you know, on the field. Like, does he flourish in a system that's similar to what we want to be doing here? I think the exception to that is, you know, if they've got knowledge on, you know, a guy or guys out there that, you know, they've worked with, Joe Brady knows, could work in my offense. You know, I remember meeting this kid at the draft, during the draft process 4 years ago. I really liked him. I could still see them at receiver specifically doing that. You know, if the right name pops up, on the waiver wire. But yeah, just taking flyers on guys, I think that's, well, that's still what that would be. But I think you just have to have some institutional knowledge of the guy, like trust.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the audio.
That he, I know he can do this thing for us that I need us to do, then maybe you could still add. But yeah, I think the just throwing stuff at the wall to see if anything sticks period is almost done.
So I mentioned earlier, you know, we've gone back and forth on the Jets this year. Now they're at some books, the AFC East betting favorite. There's certainly a lot of interest in them. You hate it. I mean, you hate the idea of, you're not high on them. You're low on the Jets.
Very low on the Jets.
Let's get this right.
Yes.
So the Jets would not qualify as thing you're afraid of this year. There could be an interesting list of answers to that. Because you have other teams, Jets, Dolphins, whatever. I guess Kansas City, but what's left to say?
I'm not
City,
scared but. Of them because I know exactly what they are, which is generally better than me. So I don't know. I don't. That's intimidating, which isn't exactly the same as fear. Like, you know, I feel
right
going in to play them, or especially play them in January. Like, okay, I'm going to need to do everything right here, and maybe then even still, it's not going to be enough. That's not an unknown. Like, fear is something that you're not maybe necessarily expecting, or you know, is going to surprise you in some way that, oh, I didn't expect that to be that good, or a team that hasn't been in your way that suddenly now is, like the Jets. Yeah, the Jets could. I'm choosing to not be afraid of them, but I get it. I mean, if I'm wrong and Rodgers can move around like he's always moved around, well enough anyway, right? I don't expect him to look like he's 28 years old anymore. He's 40. If he stays upright, then I'm in trouble. Like, all of this bravado is gonna get a big swift one right between the legs. If he, you know, if it's November and he's tracking on, you know, a 4,500 yard season or something, like, I'm in trouble because they'll be good. They will be a problem if he stays on the field for them. I think it's really just that. I'd be afraid of a 40 year old coming off that injury. But the rest of it, it's no mystery to me why they're now FanDuel has them ahead of the Bills, even in the AFC East odds, you know, only by a bit. It's like 155 to 175, I think, maybe.
It's interesting how it moves, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
You know, just the what has happened. I mean, the Bills have had some injuries, but I'm not sure that has much to do with that. The Jets probably have had a couple of their own. I don't even know. But it's just sort of like there's a momentum to it, where people are kind of talking all kind of one way. There's a chorus where, I'm not saying this is necessarily how it is with the Bills, but we've certainly spent time talking about whether there's some more pessimism this year, not so much in the fan base, it's just like in the media, in among fans everywhere. I mean, are they kind of thinking that the Bills will take a step back? So you have that plus Rodgers being healthy and all the good players they have. It makes sense to me that it's moved that way. Sometimes that movement doesn't make sense to me, but this one kind of does. And it's just, you know, so what are you afraid of this year? It's not necessarily another team. Like, this wide receiver issue is, you know, somebody's thinking that they just don't have the talent at that position to thrive. And as good as Allen is, he's going to need help. I mean, that's been true of his career. He's not somebody that can't live without it. No one is, really. I mean, even Mahomes has that. So Maybe it's wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the injury stuff that's happened. Maybe it's the fact that you're going to have to listen to us talk about Stephon Diggs and Xavier Worthy every week if they're right. if they're good.
Right. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not. If I'm not telling you I'm scared of the Chiefs, I'm not scared of the Jets. Yeah, I would cop to being more scared that the Bills just aren't going. They just aren't going to have it. That they, you know, I've said this a few times and maybe a few different ways, that a piece of the Diggs trade, I don't think it's why you make the trade. It has got to be the other mitigating factors, personality clash, whatever it is. You're just tired of the whole thing, the drama and the whatever. And, you know, maybe there is something to his production dropping off the way it has the last two second halves of the seasons that have just passed. But it's more, do I have what I need? And did Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, when they knew, okay, it's time with Hyde and Poyer, it's time with Tre'Davious White, it's time with Mitch Morse, we got to just do this. Did it get to a point where they were talking about it and just thought, you know, looking ahead, because you definitely would always be doing that, well, probably next year is where we want to make the move on Diggs. So maybe let's draft a guy this year and just be ready to make a transition. And maybe someone raised their hand and just said, why don't we just go all the way this year? Just tear it all the way off, the Band-Aid, the old metaphor. And we'll just swallow hard on all of it. And, yeah, you know, we'll go get Curtis Samuel, and we like Khalil Shakir, and we like all that. But really, internally, it's just like, let's put our heads down and hope for the best. Because rather than hamstring ourselves 2 years in a row, right, we're divesting ourselves of all these veterans, we're going to have all this turnover. And then next year, you know, when we go to pick up the pieces here and move on with, you know, see how we did without those guys, we're still going to be hamstrung by the dead money with Diggs, if indeed that was the plan. And I think there was going to be a point where they were going to have to do it. And next offseason was probably a decent landing spot for that, but it would have messed up their ability to go replenish next year. Now they're, you know, more free and clear. They're not free and clear. They still have issues financially, but the Diggs thing is over after this year. I mean, it's all one hit. And there is something to be said for just, you know, just getting it out of the way. But I don't think it's unreasonable to worry that that's really what is going on here and that they don't really know whether they're going to be the level of contender that they've been the last couple of years, because there's a lot of unknown on the roster, even to them.
Yeah, it's been one of my questions all summer is what Brandon Bean really thinks of what he's got with the changes that have happened. Some, I'm sure, he feels, you know, at peace with, fine. Maybe all of them. But some of these are moves where it feels more like they had to do it. And that can bring on a different sort of reaction than something you wanted to do. 803-0550 for your calls. What are the two states of the, is it 50? 50 states? What are the two states?
Let me check.
That according to BetOnline, residents are predicting the Bills will win the Super Bowl this year. What are the two states?
This is an easy one.
I think you're going to be wrong.
Okay.
Don't guess.
Okay.
Yet.
I'll wait. Can I guess now?
No. After the update.
Okay.
Unless it's in the update, you should not be able to find out this answer.
I won't even make the slightest effort to try to find out.
I mean, it's a little laid on thick how they come up with this sort of observation. It's from Twitter. They just sort of count, they track the number of tweets that are like, this is Team X's year kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But somebody did that.
I appreciate you saying you think I'll be wrong.
Okay.
But I think I've got you here.
Okay.
I think I'm ready to win. What do I win? Do I win anything?
These
Jaguars tickets available? No? Okay.
No, you should have been here earlier. Well, yeah, you couldn't make it, but yeah, you could have won a lot today here at the picnic.
My loss. I won. That plate of food was great. That's enough for me.
Yeah, right.
I won that.
It was a good time. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.